Welcome to the Drip Drop Hour with your host, Robert Littell, where no topic is off limits and the power of positivity reigns supreme.
Don't you dare be sour! Clap for the new day and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is. It's Sunday, around 5 o'clock Central Time. As you guys know, the podcast comes out every Tuesday, but I start recording either on Saturday or Sunday. I have my little topics that I'm going to talk about. No script, I just kind of roll with it. Normally, I say 90% of the podcast is done by Sunday night. This is an unusual Sunday, though. And I see there's no future in my fronting. That's a little MC Breed for you guys. I tell you the truth about what's going on. Other podcasters, they'll fake it and just make it seem all smooth. Don't even let you know where they make the edits and everything. Not me. Tell you exactly what's going on. And exactly what's going on is I have no idea how the show will end. I might have an interview. Something crazy could happen. See what's going on tonight. The Billboard Awards. Oklahoma City versus Golden State. WWE Extreme Rules, Game of Thrones, and anything also could pop off on social media. So the beginning of the show may be totally different from the end of the show, depending on what's happening. But I need to do some of the beginning of the show because I don't want to be up at midnight doing the whole thing. I have to sleep. I know a lot of people don't think I sleep, but I do from time to time. But see, I won't lie to you. I have no idea where we're going with this. Got a couple of things I want to talk about, a couple of things on my mind. Stuff may change. By the time, normally the podcast goes off to iTunes and SoundCloud and now that Google Play, you can find us on Google Play, right after Raw goes off on Monday night. Could be a totally different show from what I'm talking about right now. And I alert you at some point in the show, if I had to switch gears and just change the whole thing, I'll let you know. Maybe somewhere like around the 30-minute mark. If something like just goes crazy and I'm like, yeah, this wasn't supposed to be in the show, but, you know, it went crazy. So here we are. Word from our sponsors, TickIQIQ.com. That's TickIQIQ.com. Need these playoff tickets, getting close to the NBA Finals, getting close to the Stanley Cup. Concerts, baseball games, whatever you need. TickIQIQ.com. Get you the lowest rates on everything. So we got a good story to start off with today. I did some investigative reporting. Actually, all that means is I just text a bunch of people and like, hey, do you got the answer to this? And then what I do is I get the various different answers. And then I just use logic to kind of put things together. So we're going to start off with this story, highly questionable on ESPN, Dan Le Batard, Bomani Jones, Poppy. Very good show. Have a lot of interesting guests on. It's not your same old sports show in the afternoon or the early evening. So they have Fat Joe on. I'm not sure why they had Fat Joe on, but Fat Joe is on and he's talking. And Le Batard and Bo have been trying to find out who was the Nick in the story, in the song, I Got a Story to Tell. Now, if you're under, 30, you're probably not familiar with this. But if you're 30 and up, maybe even like 27 and up, you probably remember, you know, Big, Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls, Bad Boy. He was only around for a little bit before he was, you know, unfortunately fatally shot. But he had a lot of impact. And, you know, one of the songs, he's a very creative storyteller. Maybe the best part about his rapping style was it was very creative. It was very visceral, very visual. You felt like it was a story. You didn't feel like someone was just rapping to you. A lot of times in rap, and this doesn't matter the era, doesn't matter if it was the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, right now, there are rappers that just rap, like their words just rhyme together. And then there's rappers that are telling a story and painting a picture. Now, so you can have both. Sometimes, you know, you don't want a story. Sometimes you just want to dance and Millie rock on any block. But other times you want it a little bit deeper, a little bit more creative. Big could do both. He could, you know, make your party songs, make your club songs. And even those, he still gave a very visual type of feel to it. So in this particular story, it was just, you know, a story. He's messing around with some girl. Her boyfriend comes home. He just happened to be somebody from the New York Knicks. Big hides in the closet for a little bit. Then he comes up with this plan that he's going to make it look like he's robbing the girl that he was just, you know, sleeping with. So her boyfriend doesn't know that she's cheating. Boyfriend comes in the door, sees Big with the gun and the girl, and looks like, you know, he's robbing her, and gives all his money to Big. And, you know, Big makes his escape, and he's telling the story how he got over on this Knicks player. So for years, people wanted to know if this was true, who was the Knicks player, blah, blah, blah. For a long time, people thought it was John Starks. Starks denied it. Some people thought it was Hubert Davis. He denied it. Fat Joe goes on highly questionable, and he says that it's Anthony Mason. Now, Anthony Mason, RIP, unfortunately passed away way too soon, back in 2015, late 2015. So obviously he can't, you know, deny or confirm. I said that backwards. He can't confirm or deny if the story is true or not. And others have come out, Puffy and some others, and say, yeah, you know, the story is true, somewhat, and that Anthony Mason was the Nick in question. Now, there are holes in the story, okay? And I pointed these out on BSO. So if you just go to BSO, search Anthony Mason or Big E, or I Got a Story to Tell, you'll see there's holes in the story, in the sense that back then, 1995, 1996, and Anthony Mason wasn't somebody that you played around with. And if the story happened the way that Big said it happened, he basically essentially, you know, robbed a man of thousands of dollars, slept with his chick in his own bed, and then made a story about it for profit. I just don't see Anthony Mason just kind of taking that, lying down. Now, maybe he didn't want it to come out because it's embarrassing, you know, to him to have a rapper, you know, do that to him. So what I did was, you know, I got people in the streets. I'm not a thug or anything, you know. There's no gangster-ish to me. But I grew up in the hood, St. Louis, Missouri, North Side. So, you know, I didn't grow up no punk. Can't be a punk there. And one of the things that I learned when I started BSO is that sometimes your best sources, just like the police, you know, the police gets a lot of their information from criminals. I learned a long time ago that, you know, I'm not Adam Schefter, and I'm not going to have GMs on standby. I had to get my information from other places. Let's put it like that. So I got people. After you do something for a decade, doesn't, you know, I don't care what it is, you're going to have people. So I got people. And I also, I used to be a rapper. One of these days, I got some tapes. My dad was staying with my grandma, came and visited my grandma because she wasn't feeling well. My dad stays in Louisville. And he was coming to visit my grandma, his mom. And I used to stay with my grandma. She had made her house. She renovated the house where the basement was like a little like apartment. So me and my mom stayed there for a while. Then I went off to college. My mom moved. When I came back from college, I stayed there for a little bit before, you know, I got my own place and everything. But anyway, back in my high school years and my college years, you know, I used to rap. So I have all of these, or I had, I should say, well, no, I still have. I have all these tapes of freestyles because, you know, people use tapes back then, like before, and I have some CDs and stuff, but way back then, you know, what you would do is you would, you know, probably a lot of you are so young, you probably don't even remember this, but you would have this big radio system and you had like two cassette decks or that you could put two tapes in, and you could do one tape, you could play like the instrumental, And then you can plug in a microphone, like if you had a mixer or something like that. And then you can record on the other tape, if you, you know, with your microphone, like you're doing the raps. So me and my friends did all of these freestyles. The reason they call it mixtapes, which is kind of silly now because, you know, people say, oh, you know, Chance the Rapper comes out with a mixtape. There's no tape anymore. It's just, you know, stream. But back in the day, that's what a mixtape was. Like, you took instrumentals and you mixed them together with you rapping and put them on a actual cassette tape. That's where it actually comes from. So I was in the rap industry for a long time before my daughter was born. And at that point, I realized, hey, you know, it hadn't happened for me. I had to, like, find, like, a real job and be an adult and stuff like that. But it was a pretty long time. And you meet certain people, just like you meet certain people in sports media. You meet certain people in the hip-hop music entertainment game. So I put in some texts, put in some calls. And here's what I found out. So what I found out was, yes, you know, Anthony Mason is the guy that's in the, you know, that's the reference guy. But Big had, you know, anybody will tell you, you can read information about this when it comes to Big. It's not that Big, you know, lied about, you know, some of the things that he did. Like, he really was, you know, a drug dealer. He really went to North Carolina. He did deal with a lot of these things that he talked about. He was around a lot of this stuff that was happening. But he was such a talented artist, he would easily embellish some of these, you know, facts. You know, he wasn't out here shooting like 20, you know, different people, but he may have known people that were shooting 20 different people, and he was, you know, close with them. And this is kind of the same type of situation, whereas, yeah, he did have some sort of, this is what I'm being told, some sort of relationship with Anthony Mason's lady. But the you know, the fake hostage robbing scenario didn't exactly happen the way that it happened in the story, or in the rap, I should say. Which is fine, because rap is entertainment. If you took rap literally, all the rappers would be in jail. Because between the drug abuse and the violence and all the other stuff, they would have committed like 7,000 crimes. So it's just, the story in and of itself, the cheating part, the sleeping with the Knicks girl, that's true. There's some disagreement of how Anthony Mason actually found out about it. Did he walk in on him or whatever? But the part, you know, where he has the gun, he steals all the money from Anthony Mason and makes his escape. Not true. Jay-Z said this in a line, and not to go all LeBron on you, we'll talk about LeBron a little later. Believe half the things that that rappers say. And honestly, probably don't even want to believe half of that. Probably like 17% is true. You should be used to it by now, because like 17% of what you see on social media, that's probably the only part that's true. Like 80%, 83%, I think my math is right. That's just lies. Embellishments. I can't tell you how many people, and I don't judge. Not my place to judge, and I don't care what people do. It's not really my place. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing. But you'd just be surprised. And it's probably because I don't judge, and I really don't care, and they know that, you know, they can talk to me about it. You'd be surprised how many people have come to me over the years. And, you know, they got like some serious problems, or they're miserable or whatever. And then you see them on social media, you see them on Instagram or Snapchat or Twitter, and you would think that they just had the greatest life of all time. Nobody's life is perfect. We all got problems. And a lot of times we think our problems are the only problems that are happening. Everybody has problems. Nobody is living a perfect life. Like, some things make it more easier, like money. You got a little money. Yeah, you got some issues, but, you know, at least you can eat. But everybody got problems, no matter if you're rich or you're poor, you're ugly, you're cute. Everybody has problems. Now, I'd rather be, you know, rich and handsome than poor and ugly. I think I can make my problems feel a little bit better. But we all got problems. So, I mean, I don't know if it's a little disrespectful to talk about Anthony Mason like this. I know Charles Oakley said it because, you know, he's passed away and it's not like he can say anything and no one can really defend him when all these people are like, yeah, you know, Big did all this. And, you know, not like Big can clear it up either. But that's just what I was told. That's what the birdies in the streets were talking about. And that's what I was told. It's so funny how people just believe anything that they see on TV, anything that they hear on radio. Not even radio these days, I guess, is, you know, Apple Music, Tidal. Don't believe anything. Like, literally, don't believe anything unless you know the person. Like, really, really know the person. You know nothing. Like, I appreciate you guys, like, listening to the podcast. I appreciate you reading this. You know nothing about me. Like, maybe, like, 7 people know me. Now, I may know like 700 people in some shape or form, but they don't know me, just like I don't know them. I'm getting texts while this is going on. I can feel a rant going on, but I got other stuff to talk about. So that's your update on Biggie Anthony Mason, and I got a story to tell. LeBron flops. It's as simple as that. He's a flopper. It's not the only flopper in the NBA. Maybe not the worst flopper in the NBA. But all you have to do is go to YouTube, go to Vine, Twitter, type in LeBron flop. The visual evidence is overwhelming. He's a flopper. So they asked him about it. They asked him why he didn't retaliate. They didn't ask him about flopping. He got a little salty about that. He said he don't sell calls. That's just a lie. They asked him why he doesn't retaliate to certain files. And he gave the Jay-Z line, if I shoot you, I'm brainless. If you shoot me, you're famous. What's a you know what to do? Great line from Jay-Z, from the streets are watching. Some of you should put up on at your cubicle, at your office, at your desk, at home. Especially if you're black. I try to explain this to my staff and others all the time. When you're thinking about commenting or retaliating or speaking out, you really better think about it. Risk reward. Consequences versus freedom. Freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom from consequences. It's sad, but it's not equal. It's not an equal society. Life's not fair. I was telling Tamantha, our entertainment reporter, you know Tamantha. We were talking, and it was about something like this. Not LeBron in general, but just, you know, about speaking out and saying certain things. There was a college athlete, who was accused of rape. Serious crime. Very serious crime. Rape, you know, but besides like murder and maybe child molestation, there's nothing worse a man could do than rape a woman. Should be thrown under the jail, should not be let out of the jail. So I take that very seriously. But also, people have a tendency, as soon as they hear it, just automatically think the guy is guilty. Like, automatically. And frankly, according to statistics, a lot of times that's true. But it's innocent until proven guilty. And one of the problems is that you can be accused of rape. And as the guy, your name's out there. There's nothing you can do about that. The person that's accusing you is protected. And your reputation It's messed up. Now, it should be messed up if you actually did it. But what happens when you don't? And this particular athlete, he gets accused. As soon as he gets accused, some people come out on Twitter, some women, and they're just going at his character. Like, immediately. Like, just, he's a horrible person. He's this, he's that. He should be suspended. He should be arrested. He should be in jail. Hadn't even been charged. Just accused. And I admit, the majority of these women were white. The athlete was black. Anytime these cases come up and we report on them, I always do it the same way. I say, hey, here's what we know at the moment. If it is proven that he did this, throw him under the jail. If it's proven that he didn't and she lied, she should get the same amount of time that he would have gotten if he was convicted. Don't know who's telling the truth at the moment. We'll let it play out. Approximately a week later, guy's cleared. Not like even like halfway cleared. Like, I'm sorry, I was upset with him because he was messing around with some other girls, and I made this up. So I, at the time that he was accused, simply told some of these white women, hey, why don't we just take a step back before you throw the man under the bus? Let's wait for some more facts to come out. If they all come out, then tear them to shreds. That's all I said. I wasn't hostile. I didn't curse. You know, that's not how I am. So he gets exonerated. Everybody, you know. So I reached out to these white women. Like, hey, gonna apologize to my man? You called him animal and thug and all of this other type of stuff? Didn't do it. She lied. She not going to jail. His name is still being dragged through the mud. Can my man get an apology? I got blocked by these white women. There's a point to this story. That stuff doesn't bother me. I know I was cool about it. I didn't curse at anybody. I didn't yell. I wasn't vulgar. I didn't call. I don't do name calling. Now, sometimes what happens is that when you take someone on like that, your other followers are not so nice to them. Something that you have to take into consideration. Months later, I'm up for a speaking engagement, and that white woman who I asked for the apology for my man for is on the panel. Well, guess who didn't get that speaking engagement? Now, I wasn't wrong. I was right. But I spoke out. I defended this young man, which I don't regret, because I think he needed to be defended, at least until we knew all the facts. But that's why, you know, going back to the Jay-Z line, in some instances, especially when it's white versus black or man versus woman, when you speak out or you retaliate or you go back and forth, there can be more consequences for you. Now, this doesn't apply in my mind to LeBron because he's just kind of whining. Nobody's trying to hurt LeBron. I haven't seen anything, you know, violently vicious toward LeBron. They just don't want him to have a bunch of and-ones. He's a freak of nature. Dude's like 6'9", 250 pounds, faster than anybody else on the court, more explosive. If you tap him, he's just going to shake you off like a fly. So you got to wrap him up, almost tackle him. It's not dirty. You don't have to retaliate for that. It's just a good hard foul. There's nothing to retaliate for. But he does bring up a good point about Jay-Z, which has nothing to do with basketball, but just in general, I want you guys to think about that when you're deciding who you're talking to, who you're talking about, what you're talking about. Because there's always could be consequences that you don't see down the line. It's why I've learned on social media, you can't really win, no matter if you're right. So I use the podcast, I use the site, I use radio shows, I use a lot of different other outlets to get my point across besides, you know, 30 tweets in a row, because the translation is going to get lost and it's just going to cause more harm than good. No matter if you're right or wrong, or if it's just an opinion, there is no right or wrong. Gotta be careful. Honestly, we could do a whole podcast just off Jay-Z lines and life lessons. I think Jay-Z's a little bit underappreciated because as the millennials kind of take over hip-hop, they forget all the things that Jay-Z has done. Now he's just Beyonce's husband, the guy that cheated on Beyonce with Becky. That's what happens when you get old. Like, people don't even see me in the same, like when I started, I was talking to Kale about this. I was a heel, you know, using the wrestling term. Like, I was out there, man. I was in these streets fighting for my piece of the pie. I had a little nickname, Robert Littell, the Bonafide Sports Expert. Had my face all up in the videos, on the website, had a big picture of me on the front of the website. I've mellowed now. People see BSO as a brand, a national brand with all of these different people. Now just kind of falling to the background. But that's how it goes. With age comes wisdom. You learn, and then you try to give that knowledge to others. And that's what I try to do here on the Drip Drop Hour. You hear about those Belfie twins? Of course you did, because you read Black Sports Online. They make $30,000 a month, $30,000 a month, just on Instagram for showing off their fake booties. Instagram's the way to go, ladies. I'm just telling you the truth. Like, Twitter's nice, but Instagram's the way to go. You can't really make any money on Twitter. You can make Twitter money, but you really can't make yourself money unless you have links on Twitter that go to something else, a website or something that has advertising on it, so you can make money off that. So having a strong Twitter following is great if you use it to have people go somewhere else. Instagram is really what you want to do if you're attractive. Actually, you don't even have to be attractive. You can be ugly, but as long as you have like one good body part, you're good. If you have one good body part and you like to take a lot of pictures and you have enough thirsty guys to fly you out where you can take pictures at the beach in Vegas and LA and New York or whatever, you can build your following pretty quickly. And if you can get, you know, 250,000 followers, which isn't that hard if you get naked a lot or half naked. You know, next thing you know, man, you're selling, you know, that fit tee, those waist trainers. You're getting money for, like, to do little videos and stuff. If you don't have a lot of responsibilities or a job, you can make some quick, nice money. Live very comfortably. And you don't even have to use the products. Nobody actually uses the products. The products don't even work. Like, listen to me, husky women. You know, drinking fit tea is not going to make you look like Kylie Jenner. Going to Dr. Miami will make you look like Kylie Jenner. But fit tea is not going to do that. Fit tea is not going to have your booty looking like, you know, Black China. That isn't how it works. A lot of plastic surgery is what that is. But who cares if people think it works or not? If you're getting paid. I should be an Instagram model agent, IG model agent. How can I get into that? If there's women listening to this podcast and you're attractive and you want to be a high profile Instagram model, hit me up. We'll work on it together. I'm like an NFL agent. I only want 3%. I don't want a lot. Just enough to get, you know, Elle some grooming. It's Elle's birthday, actually. By the time this podcast comes out, Elle's birthday is the 25th, so on Wednesday. So Elle's birthday is Wednesday. She turns 6. She just went to the vet. Even though she's fat, she everything's good. And it should be good with her health because she doesn't do anything. She just sleeps and randomly walks around from time to time, eats some bacon, and sleeps some more. If you was following the Snapchat, Robert Littell, I dedicated a day to just Elle's life. And it's funny, the Snapchat that I dedicated just the one day to Elle, I had about 50 girls hit me up with like the private message on Snapchat. Now, I've been to Super Bowls. I've been to NBA All-Stars games. I've been to fights. I've been to concerts, events, while doing Snapchat, showing all the behind the scenes stuff. Never in my life have I had 50 girls hit me up on Snapchat while I was doing any of that. I take Ellie to the vet and show her walking up and down the street. A bunch of girls are in my Snapchat. Fellas, get you a dog. I think that's pretty obvious. But yes, I'm going to be an IG model agent. I think that's going to add that to my resume. I actually came up with a new name for Snapchat girls, Snap Models. So as soon as that takes off, because people back in the day when I had MySpace models, people stole that and tried to make it seem like it was theirs. When I came up with Twaddles, that was a big thing for a while. People stole that, tried to say it was theirs. IG model was the name that I came up with. I was the first one that was putting that in stories, IG models. And now I see that in the New York Times. They stole that from me. So Snap Model, that's me. So we had, so on episode 24, remember, I was the first one that put Snap Model in a title. So in 6 months, when everybody's talking about Snap Modeling, I'm going to refer back to this, and nobody's going to give me any money, but at least we will know where it came from. So if you're a young woman, you want to be a Snap Model, like, you can make money from Snapchat. I talked to some girls that I won't name, and, you know, they charge a certain amount of money to allow access to like these certain Snapchat names, where they be doing all type of weird stuff. I don't know what they do because I've never paid, but obviously they've been making money off of it because guys are paying to get access to these videos of them doing whatever. And that's kind of the beauty of Snapchat, is that it, you know, auto deletes and all of that stuff. So you don't really have to worry about it getting out to the public. Use social media. Don't let social media use you. Put that on your wall next to your Jay-Z quote. So Johnny Manziel got kicked out of the club after he punched some dude and then started a brawl. Are you surprised? Neither am I. So we're just going to move on to the next topic. Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor are still chirping at each other about this potential fight. Likely not going to happen. Good PR, though, for both of them. Keeps their name in the streets. Keep them relevant to the media, sports media, national media, to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to happen, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But I do want to use it as an example to give some blogging advice to you young journalists out there. This is very important, so pay attention. You need to get a pen and a pad. People still do that, right? Or what do? They type it on their MacBooks, or what, you voice chat it. I don't know. Whatever you need to do, pay attention. So I'm in Vegas for the Canelo fight. And on that Saturday morning, or maybe we should go back to that Friday night. I was having a good time. Let's put it like that. We won't get too much details. I was having a good time. Ellie, are you going to jump up here or not? Or what are you doing? I'm getting ready to help people with the blogging story. So what, are you going to jump up here or are you going to stay down there? Make up your mind. Okay, whatever. You know it's your birthday coming up. Do you want a cake? You're really not supposed to have cake because the doctor said you're getting fat. So, I don't know. Are you going to jump up? Come on. Come on. You can do it. She's scared to jump on the couch because she failed one time. And she got, you know, she's a little fat, so she's not as, you know, lean as she used to be with the jumping and stuff. What do you want? I got a story I got to tell. So are you going to either jump on the couch or don't jump on the couch? But you're interrupting the podcast right now. You already had your Snapchat, love. So you got to make a decision. So come on. You need help? You need some encouragement? Come on, girl. Come on, girl. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. There you go. Good girl. Good girl. Good girl. Now sit down and be quiet. Sometimes you just got to give a little encouragement. She didn't fall that time. So what was I talking about? So anyway, yeah. So that Friday night of the Canelo weekend, had a good time. Not going to go into what I was doing. Yeah, because you just don't need to know that. But anyway, I was having a good time. And so I was having such a good time that on Saturday morning, I was asleep very, very hard. Now, everybody who knows me well knows that if you're in the inner circle, you're pretty much the only individuals that I will answer my telephone for. But I assume when you're calling me that there's some sort of problem. Like there's some sort of major problem. You're in jail. You need to be bailed out. Somebody got shot, because I feel there's no need for us to like have conversations like that unless, you know, there's an emergency, especially out of town. When I'm out of town. So I'm asleep, knocked out, and, you know, my phone is ringing at like 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock West Coast time, so I guess it's, so it's noon in the East, but whatever, it's 9 o'clock. And it's ringing and it's ringing and it's ringing. So it's at the inner circle. So, you know, even when it's on silent or whatever, the inner circle calls get through. And it's Kale. You know, Kale's in the inner circle, right-hand man. Kale's in Vegas. I wonder why Kale is even up. He should have had a good time on Friday night as well. Whatever. Kale is calling. So I'm thinking it's an emergency. I don't know what's happening. It's the day of the fight. Anything could happen. Maybe Canelo fell down the steps. Who knows? So Kale, I answer the phone. Half sleep. Like, what's up, Kale? You good? Did you get arrested last night after, you know, we hung out? What happened? Like, I had the bail money ready just in case. And he's like, no, I'm not arrested. Everything's good. So the second part of me thinking, well, something must have happened. You know, something must have blown up. Somebody must have, you know, died, or an athlete got shot, or something weird is going, nudes have dropped a Beyonce or something. So I'm thinking it's something big. Okay, like it's about a story. And he's like, no, it's nothing like that. Nothing like that. He's like, I did this story on Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, and people are upset. So, okay, you know, that happens. What is the story that you did? He said, well, I did, you know, it came out in the, I guess it was the Sun back when it broke, came out in the Sun that there was, you know, they were trying to get a fight together. And then I did a follow-up story because I teach, this is a teach. Now write this down. Are you writing? Write it down. When you do a story, especially if you're independent or if you are trying to make a name for yourself, the worst thing that you can do is when a story breaks, a big story, you write your story. That's awesome. Okay. That's wonderful. You and 19 other million people have written the exact same story. The worst thing you can do is admire your work. Just sit back and be like, yeah, I wrote that. Yeah, that's great. Soon as ESPN gets a hold of it, nobody's going to care about what you wrote. So what I always teach people to do is don't just write the initial story. Hit them with the follow-ups. It's like boxing a little bit. It's like, okay, you threw the jab, and it was a nice jab, and it's connected. But if you need to follow up with combinations, you need to hook to the body. You know, you need the left uppercut. You need to do other stuff than just admiring your jab. So they've all been taught that. So Kale does a follow-up story like he was taught by me, who was asleep, because, you know, ball sleep. And the follow-up story was like, here's some ways that the fight could actually happen. Okay? Nothing egregious about the story. Nothing crazy. Just, hey, this is some loopholes and some ways they could figure out the way the fight could happen. And the story was well-received by the general public. But the old school media, they had a problem with it. And they were texting Kel and DMing Kel and telling him his credibility was going to be shot forever because he's writing about McGregor and Mayweather. And Kel was upset because as a professional and as a young guy in the industry, when you got old people telling you that your credibility is going to be messed up forever, that would bother me too if I was 26, 27 years old. So he wanted to know what he did. What did he do something wrong? Still have sleep while I'm listening to all of this. Look at the story. Look at what's going on Twitter. Get a general idea of what's going on. Like, you did nothing wrong. Because you're not, you have to understand the position that you're in as a writer, as a media reporter, or whatever. When you work for SI, when you work for ESPN, you work for certain entities, corporate entities, you can't say certain things. You have to kind of wait it out and see how it goes. When you work for an independent enterprise or you're trying to make a name for yourself and you have a little more flexibility, you can go a little farther with certain things as long as you tell both sides of the equation and are professional about whatever you're writing. Now, old school people, for whatever reason, thinks that you can't do this. You have to do it a certain way, but that's why they're old. This is not, you know, 1995, 1996. This is not where newspapers run the world. The world is run by immediacy. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be reckless and careless. What that means is people are craving for information about something that's out there. If you didn't make it up, it's not like Kel woke up one day and said, hey, you know something? I think McGregor and Mayweather are going to fight. It's not something out of the blue. It's something that has been talked about even before it kind of blew up. It had been talked about before. McGregor's talked about it. Mayweather's talked about it. So it wasn't like it was just out the blue. And then there was the Sun, and I don't know if that's what I would consider the most hardcore source, but it is a source. It's not like it just was randomly appeared out of nowhere. So those people were wrong. And I told Kel, and remember, this is back at the Canelo fight when all this is happening. I said, watch, Kel. I said, pay attention. It's exactly what's going to happen. Eventually, one of them are going to comment. Dana White, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. Somebody's going to comment. And then that story is going to be on ESPN. And it's going to be on Fox Sports. And it's going to be on SI. And it's going to be on Boxing Scene. It's going to be on all of this other stuff. And you know what they're going to do? They'll spend hours and days and TV and radio talking about it. And you were the first one to do that type of story. But they won't apologize to you. They won't apologize to you. Now, I'm telling them this half sleep on a Sunday, or excuse me, on a Saturday, before the Canelo fight, before all of this stuff happens. I wake up today, two Saturdays later. I didn't do anything yesterday, but I just woke up. Who's going to be the Sunday conversation on ESPN? Conor McGregor. What's the headline on ESPN.com? Conor McGregor will fight Mayweather under these conditions. Don't let other people dictate what you know is right. And when I say right, what I mean is that if you know that you're doing the right things, you know you're writing a good story, if you know that you're putting everything out there, the good, the bad, the ugly, both sides, don't pay any attention to other people. The only way that you can make it in this industry is by standing out. If you sit back and wait, you'll get drowned out. You will get drowned out. A lot of times people ask me almost every day, why is it Black Sports Online? Why do you call it? You remember it. You might not like it. It may bug you. You may ask why, but you remember. You remember BSO. You remember Black Sports Online. Even if you're the most racist person, you remember. It's in your head now. It's the only way you can make it in this industry, especially if you're a minority. If you're white, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, who you know, and they can help you, you know. You can bomb your auditions. You can write terrible articles. But if somebody likes you, then they just keep you going. You're a minority. You got to stand out. And it's a fine line because you got to stand out, but you got to be professional. We don't have a lot of wiggle room. Every time I go to a fight, at least one person, one white person, says, oh, you dress so professionally. It, like it's a surprise to them. Oh, we saw you do some TV work. You were very articulate. Like it was a surprise to them. Oh, you managed, you know, these many people, and it's a surprise to them. You have to break stereotypes while breaking ground. Not the easiest thing to do in the world, but not impossible, especially in 2016. It's easier now. So I hope you wrote a lot of that down. Because it's important. As long as you know that you're doing the right thing, don't let those outside forces mess up your head. Did you write it down? You better have wrote that down. So I'm back now. It's around midnight now on Sunday. Nothing too crazy happened. I'm not going to get overly concerned or crazy over the Warriors getting blown out. It happens from time to time in the playoffs. If they get down 3-1, and by the time this podcast comes out on Tuesday, that's when the game 4 is going to happen. Then that's when, you know, you should panic a little bit if you're a Warriors fan. It's not a must win until the next game can close you out. Always remember that. But it would be preferred if they can tie the series up before they go back home. Warriors haven't lost 2 games in a row all year. So we'll see what happens in game 4. So nothing to get out of control about. If you go through the history of the NBA, a lot of NBA champions have been whooped pretty bad at some point during their playoff run. It happens. The Warriors were down 2-1 to the Cavaliers last year. Then they won the next 3. So I wouldn't get too crazy with it at the moment. Seth Rollins is back. Came back at the end of Extreme Rules, WWE. I know I have a bunch of wrestling fans that listen to the show. I appreciate you, even if others don't. Don't let the haters stop you from watching what you like to watch. That was a good pay-per-view. It had some slow moments here and there, but for a transitional pay-per-view, it was good. Just want Roman Reigns to embrace that heel role. Just embrace it. Acknowledge the fans when they're booing you. Turn you into a super heel. Need Seth to have a new finisher, though. Can't keep using the pedigree. Got to find something different. I'll let it slide for the night because it was a pay-per-view. He was coming back. He needed something quick and recognizable for the public. But going forward, he needs something totally different. We haven't seen Triple H since WrestleMania, so there's no need to continue to do the pedigree. The one thing I did find interesting is the Billboard Music Awards was out, show came out, and they did a Prince tribute with Madonna. And this didn't please a lot of people. And then after the show, BET, who has their awards coming up, they put out a tweet with a little video saying, you know, we saw that, and don't worry, we're going to do a better Prince tribute in a month. And I just started thinking about when you die, you know, there's a lot of bad things about dying. Think about this every once in a while. Like, it really sucks to be dead. Because first off, all the things that you may believe about the afterlife or what happens after you die, you can't tell people if you're right or wrong because you're dead. So you can't be like, yep, I was right. There's tons of religions, whole bunch of different religions, different faiths, different feelings about, you know, the universe and stuff like that. It's only can be one right answer. But it's too late. You're dead. It's nothing you can do about it. Another messed up thing about being dead is once you die, you can't really control what people do after you're dead. That's what the reason why some smart person a very long time ago came up with wills. So people, when they dead, like, hey man, don't do that. Don't throw away my good Jordans. Like, put those away somewhere. Don't have this type of, you know, funeral. Don't prop me up on a motorcycle or something. It's in my will. Read it. When you don't have a will, you don't really specify what you want to happen after you die. And a lot of times when you die unexpectedly, I mean, it's like if you're 90, like, you know, the end is coming. You know, so it's like, okay, so you should have all your affairs in order. You already made it to 90. Salute. But you should have your affairs in order. But unfortunately, another bad thing about death is you just don't know when it's coming. If you think about that too much, it'll freak you out. Because you just don't know. Like, would you want to know? Like, everything else in life has an expiration date. Pretty much. Milk, laptops, cell phones, light bulbs, cars. Would you want to know your expiration date? More or less. Like, you know, when you're 15 and somebody's like, hey man, you got to 37. Would that freak you out? Like, would you live differently? Then if somebody said, hey, you're good. You're good to 80. So you're good. Don't worry about whatever you were worried about. I guess people wouldn't want to know. But back to the point. So Prince is dead. And I don't know Prince. I don't know. You know, I know Prince just like a regular Prince fan. I'm not like deep into it. But it just seems to me that he probably wouldn't want networks and award shows using him for ratings. Because that's what's going on. Let's just be honest. If you got a tweet ready to say our tribute is going to be better than their tribute, watch. Make sure you're watching. It's using somebody's death for ratings. That's messed up. But that's, you know, the way that we, that's the society that we live in. Death for ratings. Prince dying is good for your show. And you're going to promote it as such. I don't even know how to feel about that. Like, I know that that's what has to be done. And on a smaller level, I make money off people's pain and suffering. Or attention whoring. Like, I try to balance it out so I can sleep, you know, at night. When I get, you know, emails and they're like, hey, this guy did this, this girl did that, I normally won't post those. Now, if it comes public, hey, what can you do? I don't know, something about, like, I wouldn't talk about it on Twitter because people are so over the top, especially when someone dies, a musical legend or an entertainer, they're so over the top. You got to be, didn't I talk about this earlier in the podcast? Sometimes I forget what I talk about. But then I talk about, you know, freedom of choice doesn't mean freedom of consequences and risk reward and is it worth it? You know, it's not really worth it to go after, you know, the saying that's a little tacky on BET's part. It's late. I don't want a bunch of people coming after me. they have to listen to the podcast. They want to come after me. That's like an extra step. People don't like to take extra steps. I thought it was a little tacky. Will I watch? Of course. I would have watched without it. We watch award shows as a family now. So that was the only thing. That was the only thing about the Billboard Music Awards. Like, I didn't have a problem with the tribute. I mean, it's Madonna. It's the Billboard Music Awards. It's a tribute. Like, we're ranking tributes of dead people. Like, this is not good enough. This is, yeah, we're gonna up this. You know, it's like the dunk. I was watching the Dunk King. What is it? That's what it's like now. Like, okay, you know, the guy from Canada got a 97. You know, I got to do a 98. We're judging tributes like dunk contests now. Come on, man. Man, it's dead. Not like he could tell us what he... Prince didn't like tributes when he was alive. We remember the look that he was giving BET when they tried to do a tribute before. When he was alive, he didn't seem that happy about it. But once she did, can't really do anything. That's what's messed up. So Phil, go make a will. If you don't want people fighting over tributes and rating tributes like the Dunk King, go to your lawyer and get you a last will and testament. Before we get out of here, let's talk about the Draymond kick. Kicks to Steven Adams in the nuts. Everybody's seen it by now. And I need you guys to understand something. Listen, we're all fans of sports. It's entertainment. We enjoy watching it. It gives us something to talk about. For me, it's given me a career, a job, something I enjoy to do, experiences that I never imagined that I would have. But you have to understand, it's a business. It's big business. We're talking billions of dollars business. I 100% think if the Warriors were up 2-1, Draymond would have been suspended. The Warriors were up 3-0. Draymond would have been suspended. But the Warriors are down 2-1. So they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. 9 times out of 10, anytime you hit somebody in the nuts in the NBA, you're going to get suspended. And the thing that saved Draymond, as opposed to some of these other suspensions that people talk about in the past or recently, is he's an integral part of the Warriors. This was Sean Livingston, probably get suspended. But, you know, it's Draymond Green. Andrew Bogut probably gets suspended, but not Draymond Green. It's not so much that Draymond is a superstar like LeBron or KD or anything like that. It's just that the NBA knows if the Warriors have any chance of winning on the road, they need Draymond Green to tie up this series. And you have to look at it from this perspective. Ratings and money and advertising and interest in the game, that all matters. You really think they want the Toronto Raptors in the finals? Now, if they make it, they make it. But they don't want that. They want LeBron in the finals. LeBron brings drama, ratings, conversation. And it's not so much that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook don't bring that conversation. They bring a conversation. But they're not the Warriors, San Francisco, Oakland, the MVP, 73-9. It's just not the same. Rematch, it's not the same. It's business. So you have to understand that. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. I looked at that replay several times, and what it looked like to me was that Draymond didn't have to do it. He didn't have to flail his leg out. It was a secondary motion. Do I think that when he flailed his leg out, he knew he was going to hit him squarely in the nuts? No, I don't think that. If he hits him in the knee or the thigh, we're not even talking about this right now. Just happened to hit him in the nuts. But we've seen other situations where people get hit and you can't quite know the intention and they've been suspended. But this is big business. Big dollars. Warriors are on the brink. Oklahoma City has that look. Like sometimes a team just, they get that look. Like they're not going to be denied. The base guy, the curse, the curse of Russell Westbrook outfits, none of that's going to stop them. They really seem to have that look. It's almost like boxing. You know, a lot of times in boxing, there's a heavy favorite. Not even a heavy favorite, but, you know, a strong favorite. And then they get in the ring with someone, and that someone just decided that they're not going to lose tonight. And that's what the Warriors, Oklahoma City, looks like right now. That doesn't mean the Warriors can't turn it around. They haven't lost two games in a row in like 17 years. But this is going to be a very interesting game four. Like I talked about earlier in the podcast, them getting blown out, that's just a game. Remember when the Thunder got blown out in game one against San Antonio? Because they thought the series was over. People was like, series over. You see what happened. Warriors win game four, the whole dynamic changes. But that's just business. So you could be upset. I would be upset if I was a Warriors fan. Excuse me, if I was an Oklahoma City fan. I would like these series to come to some sort of conclusions because me and Kel got to figure out where we're traveling to. We don't have millions of dollars in offices that are, you know, handling our traveling expenses. We need to know where we're going. We're poor, so we have to, you know, do things in advance. Money in the Bank in Game 7 of the NBA Finals on the same day. I really wanted to go to Money in the Bank in Vegas. Like, really, really wanted to go. So I might need a sweep. I never have a rooting interest. I don't really care. Best team wins. That's the Raptors, if it's the Thunder. You know, I don't care. As long as the best team wins. But I do have an interest in what interests me. And I'm interested in Money in the Bank in Vegas. So if I can get a sweep, five games. Give me five. You can get five games. Even six, I may be able to swing it. Go seven, I'm going to be stuck in the arena. Watching the WWE Network Game 7 is going on. We're going to have an interview next week, I promise. But for now, bring in my outro.
You've been listening to the Drip Drop Hour with Robert Littell. You can follow Robert on Twitter at BSO and keep up with everything in the world of sports and entertainment by going to blacksportsonline.com. See you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Drip, 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 drip.